Hey, good morning. This is Peter John. Welcome to Rogue Grace on this beautiful, beautiful morning, this Tuesday. And we're going to be looking at this morning, considering as we're between books of the Bible here on the program, I want to take a couple of segments to look at, consider the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament, what are more specifically called spiritual gifts. Even more specifically than that, gifts of grace, or charismatic, as we might say in our English language. Charisma. So I want to look at that because next Sunday we're going to be beginning a new service for this season. I don't know how long it might go as far as this part of it, but it might go on for a while. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord wants to do. But opening up the Sunday evening here at the church, about an hour service from 6 to 7, for the spiritual gifts that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament. Spiritual gifts, or gifts of grace, we might say. That's the real word, or specific word, even though they're called spiritual so often. Although that's true too, the pneumatica, the things of the Spirit, but also are referred to in the New Testament in the writings of Paul as the charisma, as I pointed out, or the gifts of grace. And we'll make that distinction as time goes on, even maybe this morning. And as we have this service in which I want to open it up, we're going to have a quick opening of the scriptures of the Bible on Sunday night. But then also giving time to opening up the Word of God through His people. A quick opening up of the Bible, because we're going to look at some of the major Bible stories. You can hold me to this if you want, but about 15 minutes is all it will be, of looking at starting with Genesis and going through the Bible as time goes on. And then yet the other part of the service, opening up not just a word from the scriptures, but a word from or in the Spirit at the moment through His people. So kind of setting that up a bit here on the radio program. That will be at 6 o'clock on Sunday. Come join us in the sanctuary for that. I want to look at this, what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. He writes, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So we read here that there are different gifts. It's diverse at Applegate Christian Fellowship, or in the body of Christ. Different diversities of gifts. Let's consider that a bit today. Very exciting. It's a divisive subject in the church. This gift, this idea of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. But these are the way that we serve in the church. In a consumer culture of the United States or the West or where we live today in 2017, where the purpose of life is getting your needs met, the Bible says the church is just the opposite. It's putting the needs of others ahead of your own, no matter what the cost. Instead of getting your needs met at the best cost, it's serving others at no matter the cost. And we see that specifically or practically laid out in these gifts of the Spirit. So there are a variety of these spiritual gifts. They're not the same as talents, the abilities that God gives us to build up just the community around us or the economy that we live in, the company that you work for. Those are talents that Jesus, I would suggest to you, that Jesus refers to. Gifts or gifts of grace are not just for the common good of the community. That's good. That's wonderful. But the gifts of grace are for the common good of the church. A way to serve the church. And there are a variety of these spiritual gifts. You can cluster them, I would suggest, though, into three categories. I would suggest to you the prophetic, that is words that are spoken as a prophet. Ephesians chapter 4 states that in the church, the Spirit of God has given us prophets, as well as evangelists and teachers and apostles. But he's also given us prophets. So you have, if you would, three, in my suggestion to you, categories. You have prophets, those who speak in the prophetic. You have priests, those who are able to govern, or I should say, rule, but in spiritual terms, in spiritual ways. By rule, I don't mean necessarily, I don't necessarily mean administrate. By rule, I mean to be able to step up and lead the congregation or teach the congregation through the Word of God. Not necessarily the prophetic, which is spontaneous or instant, if you would, but more through study and teaching. Men and women that are called to be serving in that way, I would suggest, are priests. And then, though, you have the third category, and that would be kings. That sounds like the best, right? That's what I want to be, we might think. Try it sometime. You won't say that for long. That would be more in the area of practical serving through leadership. And I think you see these three categories, if the Lord might allow me to make that link from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You can pray about if that's accurate in your reading of the Bible or not. But there are prophets, priests, and kings in a more simple, more spiritual sense, rather than the literal sense of the Old Testament, but still found in the church. And only together do all these three fully represent Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at these things. The prophets, the priests, and the kings. Keeping in mind, prayerfully, hopefully we'll be opening up Sunday evenings from 6 to 7 in the sanctuary, starting this Sunday night, for the gifts, the teachings, the blessings of the Holy Spirit.
His kindness overwhelming and hope for me.
So on Sunday nights, beginning this Sunday, we are going to open up the sanctuary from about 6 to 7 for a small time in the written word, looking through the big Bible stories, if you would, from cover to cover, one at a time, of course. But then also dispensing that time for the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of grace, as they're often called in the New Testament. Now, before we look at these three categories of giftings that I have made the distinction of, maybe you do too, of prophet, priest, and king for the church in the New Testament, rather than politically speaking, maybe even physically speaking in the Old. But two things to avoid when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit or the charisma, the gifts of grace. The first thing that we should avoid is that to assume. Well, let me call it this. Let me say this. The first thing to avoid would be the gift cop-out. That is to say, I'm not gifted, or to think I'm not gifted in helps or service or evangelism, so I don't have to do it. No, I think that there is areas where I might not be gifted in, but it doesn't mean that I'm not seeking to see it projected, blessed, and to try and even accomplish or help see it manifested in the Applegate Christian Fellowship, the body of Christ as a whole. That would be the first thing I might warn me or you against, gift cop-out, but also gift projection would be the second thing to avoid. That would be to assume that everyone should do it, can do it the way that you do it. Just because you might be gifted in evangelism doesn't mean everyone should do it just like you, or helping the poor, or whatever it may be. Sometimes it's easy to see our gift and think everyone should be doing it the way that we do, but that doesn't, if that was the case, it wouldn't make a diverse church. It would be boring. So those are the two warnings, or if I could give those, about gifts of grace or gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians, if you might allow me to on the radio program. And that would be number one, gift cop-out. Number two, gift projection. Okay, having said that, the first would be the prophetic gifts. Now, if you would, the prophets in the Old Testament, they, if you would, have their backs to the people. Their backs not to the people, their backs to the temple, let me say. Their backs to the temple, their faces toward the people. That is, they would be sensing, they would be feeling the power of God, the word of God, through them to the people. While, if I can make this distinction, priests, not prophets, but priests would, if you could picture it in your mind, have their backs to the people and their faces to God. They would be representing the people to God, as the high priest would be there in Leviticus and Exodus, decked in royal garb from head to toe, or in white linen on the Day of Atonement. He would be representing the people to God, facing, if you would, God with his back to the people, so to speak. While the prophet would be representing God to the people, facing the people with his back, if you would, to God, representing it in that way. Can you picture that? I hope I made that kind of clear. Maybe not. But when we talk about the prophetic gifts of the New Testament now, keep that in mind. It's the person who is ministering to the people of God because he has or she has a word of God flowing through them and in them to those around them. So a person that has a prophetic gift is able to say, I'm helping you understand God's word, his truth, his will. And specifically now, what is a prophetic word? There is evangelism. That is when a person is gifted to help people around them believe in God, believe in the gospel. There is teaching. That is when a person is gifted in prophetic gifts to help people learn the word of God, not merely or simply to believe the word of God. That would be evangelism. But to learn the word of God, that would be teaching. Then there's the gift of prophecy in the New Testament. Again, under this prophetic gift. So to speak, if you can picture in your mind the picture of the Old Testament, where a prophet, so to speak, has his back to God facing the people. We look at evangelism. That work or act or gift of prophecy allows people to believe in God. There's the gift of teaching. That act or gift allows people to learn of God. Then there's the gift of prophecy. That allows people to understand God. Oh, can we fully understand God? No. But we can understand him a little bit more day by day. So a person of prophecy isn't necessarily that particular gift, a gift of teaching, necessarily. Not doctrinally, verse by verse, necessarily, or evangelism, necessarily. It's that spontaneous word of God that allows people to understand his nature more, and it will never contradict the scriptures. And finally, there's the gift of knowledge. That's insight of God. Understanding God might be for the moment. That would be prophecy. Might be for the situation. That would be prophecy. But knowledge or insight would be more of being able to know God. To know who he is, his nature. So you look at these different gifts. What one might you be if you are indeed a person with a prophetic gift? That is, so to speak, keep this in your mind. You have your back to the temple, that is in the New Testament. I'm speaking in spiritual terms now. You're back to God facing the people. You have the gift of evangelism where you want to see people believe in God, maybe for the first time. Might you have the gift of teaching where you want people to learn of God, to grow in that understanding of his word? Might you have the gift of prophecy where you want them to understand God for the moment, the situation, the life that they're living? Or the gift of knowledge, insight to God, his character, his nature. Being able to make those parallels and those connections between the world we live in and the supernatural and the eternal and the invisible. That's the prophetic gifts. The second, though, of the three, you have the prophet, then you have the priest, priestly gifts. Again, a prophet speaks to the people for God. The priest speaks to God for the people. The priest is more a person, a woman or a man, who advocates for the people to God. We might call that sympathy rather than simply truth-telling. Truth-telling is prophetic. Priestly is sympathy. It might be along these lines. Can I use some words that we use today, even if they're not found in the Bible, so you apply them and see if these are valid? A person with a priestly ministry would be a person who is able to motivate others. Counsel, coaching, healing, helping, pastoring. Getting what a person needs in order to grow. Serving, sharing, giving, mercy. Mercy, yeah, there's a gift of mercy in the New Testament, which literally is the gift of hilarity. It's a person that has a sense of humor, I think. The gift of mercy is so that when you're able to get up from the pain that you might be in. To me, I would suggest to you for your thinking, those are the priestly gifts. The prophetic gifts are the ones we laid out before of evangelism, teaching, prophecy, and knowledge. The priestly gifts are more of a person who is inclined to face God for the people. We would call it prayer and intercession and that devotional relationship with God. Not that we all shouldn't be doing that. We should. There are people who are more supernaturally, naturally inclined to do that. And in so doing, they do are able to motivate and counsel and coach and heal and pastor and serve and share in that way because of their personal relationship with God on a personal basis. I don't know. That's just a suggestion for you. But then there's a third group, and we'll wrap up this segment. That would be the kings or kingly ministry. I know it sounds a bit overbearing, and it could be used for that, so I hope I'm not going to be misconstrued here, and it can be. But if you simply look at it in spiritual terms, for even in the New Testament, you and I are called priests and kings, a royal priesthood, we are called in Peter. And those that have the ministry of the king in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, are abilities in direction and group needs. There's wisdom, there's leading, it's getting stuff done. It's others that are tending to help you how to get things done. It's a corporate gift. We might call that, no, we do call that in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 4, an apostle. In the English language or today's language, we might call that just maybe an entrepreneur kind of person, a founding or a founder's gift. Plowing new ground. That would be a kingly ministry, an apostle ministry in the New Testament. There's leadership, vision casting to get people excited and united, administration, organization, setting up practical steps, wisdom, problem solving, faith, and vision goals very clearly. Those would all be under the kingly ministries. So, I know that this could be open up to scrutiny by saying prophet, priest, and king, and has been, and I understand that. It's not infallible. But I do think it's helpful that some of us would be called to the New Testament version of those things. Prophets facing the people, saying, I love spending time with God, but I got to spend time serving God's people as well. Good. And then there are others, the priestly, facing God, saying, I love God's people, but I spend time with him. Good. And then there's the kings, those that are able to very humbly, without an agenda, serve God's people by leading. And they lead by serving. Those are the gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be right back.
Is high and the sunset fades. Lullabies have all been sung. We're tucking in another day. Stars appear now one by one. But the stillness moves and the silence heals. Not a single beat is lost. You can hear the chorus in the fields, taking up where we left off. And your praise goes on, rising to your throne, where you goes on. or morning sun. Chase the stars and the moon away. Wake us with your brightest song. Add our voice to your refrain. Now rise up, everything that lives. Flap your wings and leap for joy. Oh, forest, lift your arms and sway. Clap your hands, you ocean waves. You gave. That won't mean the praises end. 'Cause I won't be silenced by the grave. And your praise goes on. I'll be running to your throne with every nation, tribe.
So, talking about looking at and speaking of these spiritual gifts and these gifts of grace in the New Testament, it can tread over some very vulnerable territory for many Christians. It can be a sensitive subject, no doubt, one that would be easier to avoid and has been for many of us. So it's going to be interesting here on Sunday nights as we open up the gifts of the Spirit. And even here on the radio, as for the next couple of days, we look at, I have a lot more to talk about. The Bible has a lot more to talk about, more importantly, concerning these spiritual gifts and how to use them and not abuse them, nor be abused by them. So let's continue to look at these things and consider these things together and join us. Because although it can be messy, or it is a roll of the dice in terms of keeping everything clean and orderly, we need to keep everything in orderly. There's no doubt. But on Sunday nights, the Word of God can be spoken to us in a very prophetic, practical, powerful way, even other than or alongside of the study of the Scriptures. Looking forward to that. Join us on Sunday night. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. May you today be filled with the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.